Okay, we have about a half hour or so to speak about something. A couple people asked about it, and I want to try to do so in a way which I think can hopefully be valuable. That has to do with learning halacha, with the way that halacha can be learned, the way that halacha, given some of the limitations that we have as far as time, the way that halacha in our situation maybe should be learned, or at least some suggestions that can be there. Let me begin by giving some background about limud halacha in general. Please pay attention. We're going to do our best. The Gemara in Sotah Daf Chaf Aleph introduces for us the idea of a Talmid Chacham who is learning Lasuke Shmaisa Aliba de Hilchasa. And there's a certain kind of learning that can take place that has no halachic impact. There's a learning that can take place, and you can do it in a variety of different ways. It could be a learning that takes place, in the world of Machshava or Tanakh. It can be a learning, as we do often, without, again, redefining what the term means for now, a learning which can take place every day when you're learning Gemara B'in or Gemara B'kiyas, even if it's surrounding halachic topics. But you would probably say that lima, we would not define it, certainly colloquially, as asuki smaisa liba de hilchasa, like we're learning it to paskin halacha lemaisa. It's true that there are times where we speak about what we do for psak, but no one will get the impression, I don't think, that the primary goal of what we're doing is always geared towards psak. We know that the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Mem Amud Beis does emphasize for us, though, in a variety of discussions in Gemaras and in Rishonim and Poskim, that emphasize the importance of learning with a bend towards halacha lemaisa. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin Daf Mem Amud Beis, when there's a machlokas about what the greatest form of Torah is Talmud Gadol, or is Maisa Gadol, what's greater, learning or doing? What's greater, fulfilling mitzvos or learning? So the Gemara comes to a nenu kulam va'amru. The Gemara comes to some sort of a conclusion there. Talmud gadol, learning is greater. Shaha Talmud mevi lidei maisa. That learning is better because it leads to actions. Now, there's a lot in that Gemara about if it's learning versus actions. Why is learning better? Because it leads to actions. Be that as it may, what the Gemara does sort of describe is that part of what gives Talmud, part of what gives learning its extra status, is that which it's mevi lidei maisa, that which it leads to people acting, to people following halacha and following Torah mitzvos. One of the shitas, with some of the poskim quote, is a shach in Yeridea in Reish Mem Vav. So, hey, we're discussing there in Yanei Talmud Torah, and the shach quotes the drisha. The drisha said that there are people who are yesh bali batim, there are people that learn every day Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, and they don't really learn other poskim. And they have a discussion there, and it says the shach with the drisha, but avali nira, that's a mistake. Sheish lomod sifrei haposkim dinei haTorah, they should focus much more on halacha lemaisa. And it could be ve'ena yotzim klal belimud gemara rashi tovos etc. That it could be that lima is not as ideal. And says the shach, if a person wants to define, I have a limited amount of time. What should I be learning? So certainly the world of halacha is critically important. Many of us, I'm sure, though, are aware of the fact that there's another Masorah out there that does not emphasize as much the world of halacha lemaisa, and that's in many, many yeshivas, especially more Ashkenazi yeshivas. The focus is more on limud in a bit of a more abstract way, and limud which does not always lead to halacha lemaisa. Now, sometimes there's a mistaken impression. Rabbi Salanter, I believe they say, when he started a kolel to produce poskim, felt the need, akedei kach, to explain. By the way, no one should think, if we're starting a kolel to produce poskim, that's called Talmud Torah shelo lishma. Like, it could also be lishma if you're learning to, like, know how to paskin shilas. But it got to the point where, like, halacha was, like, so much, but yeah, because abstract Torah, abstract is all that we care about, and undoubtedly Rabbi Shlomo was saying, you know, that's ridiculous, and we all have to be halachically observant Jews. So whichever perspective a person happens to take on limud halacha, one thing you can't do is not learn any halacha at all, and certainly not to know halacha, because Talmud Gadol maybe lidei maisa, and keeping halacha is keeping halacha. We're talking about tariq mitzvos here, which we're talking about Shulchan Aruch, so we certainly want to be aware of and to know that which we are there doing. The question therefore becomes, if we're going to be learning halacha, so how does a person learn halacha? How do you maximize that limit of halacha? I'm going to speak very briefly about the way halacha would be learned lechatchila. I'm going to speak much more about the way halacha is going to be learned in a non-lechatchila context, and I'll explain what I mean. In the perfect world, so every sugya we would be learning from beginning to end ad hasof. In the perfect world, everything that we'd be learning with Gemara, with Rishonim, Rambam, and Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Nosei Kelim, all the way down ad poskeis manenu. Without a shadow of a doubt, in the perfect and ideal world, we would get to a point where we're able to learn everything, and everything as well as we possibly can. Why not? Once we're in the perfect world, you know, why not go there? When you learn halacha at a certain stage in life, you learn it much more intensely. So morning Seder, we'll explain why we don't do that in a second, or probably at a different time at greater length. But when you're at a point where your morning Seder, I think there's dedicated towards limud halacha, so then we're talking about a different kind of limud halacha. Then we're talking about limud halacha, which you're learning really the primary sources. I'm starting with the Gemara and Rishonim. I'm going to be learning a Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Masechta Kelim. That's when you're dealing with it the way that you ideally would probably want to learn halacha at a certain stage in life. However, at this particular stage in life, and again, within that, you have a lot of different machloksim and mahalchim and how you learn halacha, even l'chachila. We spoke a couple of years ago about a machlokas between really Rav Avadia and Rav Moshe Feinstein about the ideal way to learn halacha. Broadly speaking, Rav Avadia is much more into a certain kind of bekiyas, of a mastery of literature, of all that's found in Rishonim and Achronim, Achronim that we have heard of, Achronim that we haven't heard of, and being able to amass a massive amount of information to prove his point, to know what to do. Rav Moshe Feinstein, much less so. Rav Moshe Feinstein was much more focused on, we would say, classical Sfarim, much less bound by the words of Achronim, and much more creative in how he was doing it. Rav Avadia was creative in a different direction, but as far as how much you're reliant on Achronim, different ways as far as how exactly you would look. For the vast majority of us, I don't think that's where we're at right now. We're not at that point right now, I think, for, I'll say one reason, which I think is just helpful. A lot of the sugyas that we learned at the earlier stages in yeshiva, so obviously there's Talmud Torah, whether things are halacha l'maisa or not, whether it's the world of kachim and taros, which are not halacha l'maisa, or the world of moed and sukkah and lulah gazel, which undoubtedly is halacha l'maisa. It's all called Talmud Torah. The reason why in many, many yeshivas, what they do is they learn in the morning seder in a bit of a less halacha l'maisa way, is under the theory that learning, if you know how to learn Gemara Be'ian very, very well, and we get some of the basic building blocks and skills now, that will open up many, many doors for you. That getting a lot of these sodos that come now will make limud halacha, when you do go to a point and you're learning halacha much more seriously, to be indescribably more productive and effective. But what do you do when you only have a half hour morning? What does halacha seder look like when you only have a half hour morning? Because then you really can't learn it l'chadchila. If you would spend a half hour a day, but I'm going to be learning Hilchos Shabbos this year, now I'm going to be learning things from the Gemara, to the Rishonim, Rambam, Torah, Shulchan Aruch, Masechta Kelim, so would I even get past Hilchos Kiddush? Like my whole year, Limud, maybe Hilchos Kiddush. A lot of shayles I got to figure out what kind of wine is considered to be okay, who drinks, who doesn't drink, who's allowed to make Kiddush, am I allowed to eat or drink before Kiddush, you know, what am I allowed to exactly, there's a lot of discussions in Kiddush, it would take you a very, very long time. Again, just to get through that in a half-hour day, starting fresh every single day, it's very, very hard to know. It's very, very hard to know how to learn it in a way which would really be helpful, so we have much less time. So what do we do in a world in which we have much less time? So it happens to be the Chai Adam. Chai Adam, there are a couple Sfarim that were written, Halacha L'maisa, that are really helpful. Mishnah Berurah is written, Mishnah Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, Chai Adam, are three different kinds of Sfarim, and we'll try to describe them like this. Mishnah Berurah is a sefer that is written on Shulchan Aruch. So every time, as we know, every time you learn Shulchan Aruch, so Mishnah Berurah and the Chafetz Chaim wrote really three different Sfarim on Shulchan Aruch. He wrote Mishnah Berurah, which is giving you sort of like the main psak, of main thing that Achronim say, although he doesn't always tell you exactly what to do. He gives you the main sheet that's found in Achronim. The Bir Halacha, which are the larger discussions about background and sugyas and Rishonim and some of the more, you know, intricate discussions. And Shaar Tzion, which are more of the footnotes. The Ma'ila of Mishnah Berurah, and we'll discuss things in a little bit, but the Mishnah Berurah, working off of Shulchan Aruch, he allows you to prioritize what I want to do. I want to focus more on Mishnah Berurah. I want to learn this to get better. I'm looking at Bir Halacha. That's one kind of sefer. Aruch HaShulchan is not written on something. So in the Mishnah Berurah, sometimes you're like cheshbonning out, like, wait, Os Chav Dalet is going on what? And then Os Chav Hey, and like, what's it going on? When it comes to the Aruch HaShulchan wrote just straight up in paragraph forms. The Aruch HaShulchan tends to give a lot more background information. So it's a little bit more verbose, but a lot of background information. Here's our Gemaras, here are main sheets in Rishonim, and the Aruch HaShulchan is giving you a lot more of the background. Then you have Sfarim like Chai Adam and Kitter Shulchan Aruch, which were Sfarim that were written to really focus on, and this is the Chai Adam writes in his Hakdama, the purpose of really, in a certain sense of all of these Sfarim, the Mishnah Berurah writes this in his Hakdama, the Chai Adam writes it really even more forcefully in his Hakdama, the purpose of all of these Sfarim is that not everyone can learn all Dal Chalkei Shulchan Aruch L'Chachila. You have to finish everything, with all the poskim doesn't work for most people. And it doesn't work even for the vast majority of Talmidei Chachamim. To learn everything on a sof. So we have to have something which makes it more palatable. So the Mishnah Berurah did it in his way. The Aruch Hashulchan gives a little bit more background. Chai Adam and Kitter Shulchan Aruch are really focused much more on just the basic dinim of what you have to know. Smaller than the six-volume Mishnah Berurah, the Chai Adam. And it's giving you sort of like the basics, Kitter Shulchan Aruch, the basics of what you have to know in lots of different areas. They're not going to include as much the dinim, which are not relevant to Lachal Maisa, as opposed to the Mishnah Berurah, which we're going to speak about every single simon in Aruch Chaim, even those that maybe don't come up as much. He's still going to speak about, like, let's say if you're not Ariel Marcus and you're not going to work as a sofer in the army, so I don't need to know, like, the osios of, like, how a gimel is supposed to look if I open up a mezuzah. So most of us, not so lemaisa. So the Mishnah Berurah is still going to have that. And again, in some of the others, it's going to be focused much more on what is halacha lemaisa. In contemporary Sfari Sfarim, you have the exact same phenomenon. The Kaf HaChaim tends to be much more sort of like a Mishnah Berurah on Shulchan Aruch, lots of different dayas. Yalkut Yosef, you know, Halacha Brura is much more like if anyone's familiar with that, it's an amazing set of Sfarim, David Yosef, much more sort of Al Seder Shulchan Aruch. But within some Sfarim, they have like Yalkut Yosef, Kitter Shulchan Aruch version, where it's telling you like what to do. Which Sfarim do I learn and how do I make those valuable? So here's a couple of Ha'aras that I would share, at least my take on things. Limud Halacha Lemaisa is not my Iker area at all, and even the word Iker was probably a little bit of an overstatement. But let me try and share with you some general thoughts. What sefer you learn is in many ways going to be based on what your primary goal is in learning Halacha Seder. That's the first step. What is my primary goal? There are a couple goals that I think are primary. There are some secondary goals, like I want to get better at learning things in Hebrew and get better, and that's why I may want to learn a sefer in Hebrew, even if that means I cover more ground in something in English. But as a whole, there are, I think, a couple of different goals. Goal number one is to familiarize yourself. I want to familiarize myself with the basics. I want to know the basics. I don't want to know what's going to happen in every single case. I don't even want to know necessarily. I can't say I'll be able to paskin that much based on what I've learned, but I will know enough to know what are the issues. I'll know enough to know when should I be asking a question. I'll know enough that I'll be familiar with lots of topics. So I'll know basics of Hilchos Mezuzah, which maybe I wouldn't get to in Yerideya otherwise. I'll know basics of things, because otherwise maybe I would never get the chance to learn Hilchos Tefillin as well, so I'll make sure I'm covering, broadly speaking, I'm covering a much wider sort of variety of things, not in the same amount of depth that I'll do later in life. But right now, I'm sort of getting an overview of a lot of the basics. That's why I believe Rav Schechter often encourages, at least when he comes here, and that to learn Sfarach and Chai Adam, because he thinks that's a great thing for someone when they're beginning to learn more seriously, is to get a little bit of an overview. To get an overview that can learn for a long time, and like, whoa, I didn't know, like, this is just not okay. I didn't know the basics of certain malachas or things like that. So that's why it's a part of the reason why you learn those far. And we'll speak in a little bit about what notes will look like as a result and what the limit itself looks like. If that's my primary goal, that's one model. That's one model. Maybe part of my goal is, you know what? I know that if I just learn something, like a little bit quickly, if I just spend a couple of days on something, I'm not going to remember it that well. If I spend a couple of days on it, I'm not really going to be konet. And the more details I know, the more I'm likely to remember things, the more I'm likely to be konet things, the more I'm likely to learn well. And then I'm going to learn a different kind of a sefer. Maybe I want to learn Aruch HaShulchan, because Aruch HaShulchan is going to give me a lot more of the background. And maybe if I don't have the background, none of it really clicks. If I don't know what the Gemara is, where it's coming from, if I don't know any of the basic Rishon, if I don't know any of the svarad behind it, it's going to be hard for me to be able to really know what to do, even if it's focused on knowing what to do or getting some of the basic information. It could be that I want to know much more what's going on in a lot of the postgame and different shittas in postgame. And maybe I want to learn Mishnah Berurah because Mishnah Berurah is on Shulchan Aruch, so I'm encountering Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah is referred to by the Chaznish and others as more of like the Posek Acharon. That's the one that all else being equal we paskin like. Never if Hank and others what the Aruch HaShulchan was, but the mainstream view, I think, is more of the Mishnah Berurah being like the Posek Acharon. So I want to learn the Mishnah Berurah because that's more of the classic sefer that we made more like the paskin like. It gives me a lot of the shittas. And I have the option in Mishnah Berurah to either sometimes look at something at greater depth in the Bir Halacha or look at something in the Mishnah Berurah, you know, in that kind of a way. Now, that's assuming that part of my goal is to know what to do. Part of my goal could be just to get basic ideos, even if it's not about knowing what to do. I want to learn basics of Hilchos Mezuzah, even though I'm not building a home right now or putting up mezuzahs, but it's good to know some of the basics and like that, and then we also have implications. One of the greatest challenges, again, I want to be able to focus on things a little bit, is that when I'm learning halacha, so the question is really two things. I think these are the two that are very important. Number one, you know what, make one hara first. There's a bit of another mahalach in how to learn halacha for halacha seder. I don't think this works for most people, but it would work very, very well, I think, for certain people. And that is that instead of learning, let's say, one sefer seder, I really learn a topic. For the next 6 months, I'm going to be learning Hilchos Tzitzis. Hilchos Tzitzis, I'm going to be learning it with Shulchan Aruch Mishneh Berurah. I'm going to be looking at either the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah or Piskei Tshuvos. I'm going to make a list of what I think are the main issues that I'm aware of that have come up for me in Hilchos Tzitzis. And as I learn, I'll make a list. And my goal in the next 6 months is to learn Hilchos Tzitzis well. The mile of that is that I will have learned Hilchos Tzitzis pretty well. The Chisaron is I'll have lost out on everything other than Hilchos Tzitzis in those first 6 months. If I want to cover some ground, so maybe it's a little bit of a middle approach. I can't learn the Chachila, I'm not learning Sikhs Menachos all the way down, but getting some information sometimes of some of the background can be very, very helpful. Now, the two biggest questions, I think, at least that I know, I don't know, at least that I get about this stuff. Number one is when I'm learning Halacha Seder, how do I know what we paskin like? How do I know? Now, we don't always paskin like the Mishneh Berurah, always paskin like the Kitchel Chanar, always paskin like the Chayadim. So if my goal is to know what to do, so how does any of this really help that much anyway if I don't really know exactly what to do based on what I'm going to be learning? That's one question which I think is very important. The second question is, so what do notes and chazara look like in Halacha Seder? It's a half hour. I don't have a ton of time. So what exactly does that look like? I'm going to share with you a couple theories of mine. You can, again, take it or leave it. But for me, I find this to be helpful. When I'm learning Halacha Seder, what I will do is as follows. One of the first things is the Chai Adam describes is being aware of some of the basic, like, klalim, basic background information to understand what's going on. For most of our Chaim, we probably already had that. Like, tzitzis, we enter learning Hilchos Tzitzis with a decent amount of, like, background. We know what tzitzis are. We know how many strings it's supposed to more or less look like. We get some of the background, but I want to make sure we have a little bit of the background. But when I'm learning it, I'm going to learn the halachas. I'm going to ask myself really two questions every time it comes up if I'm prioritizing things. Number one, is this likely to come up? I want to know everything, but I want to prioritize the things that are more likely to come up. So I'm learning Hilchos Tzitzis, and I'm learning halacha about a ripped tzitzis string, so I can say, you know what? I think that's likely to come up. If I'm learning Hilchos Tzitzis, a discussion about wool or cotton beged, I say, not only is that likely to come up, that's on me right now. I got to make a choice about that as far as some of those things. That's one thing that I would ask, and I'll say three things. That's one thing I would ask, is it likely to come up or not? The second question I would ask is what I just learned surprising to me or not? The more that something is surprising, the more I want to check out, is this really how we paskin? If I read something in Mishneh Berurah and Archa Shulchan and Chai Adam and I say, you know what, this is very odd. No one around me keeps this. Or I didn't grow up in a home that does this. So the first thing I would do is just ask. We'll find, I think, the majority of the time, is that a lot of those things, it's not the Mishneh Berurah, that's because Rav Moshe to Tshuva, Rav Moshe holds differently, and that became the minhag in America, and that's why we do X. Or I read a Mishneh Berurah, the Mishneh Berurah says, you know, it makes it sound like the Chachila, you should really be wearing wool tzitzis. But I'm like, but wait a minute, I'm wearing cotton, I never knew wearing cotton. Does that mean it's bidyeven? So in those situations, what you would do is you would ask someone. You'd go over to someone that's, you know, you go over to the Dayan. You know, it's Rabbi Rosenfeld. It's more, I would ask, is this what we really do? Do I really have to wear? And maybe the person would say, sometimes the answer is yes. But sometimes the answer is, no. The Chaz and Nish wore cotton. You know, or this person wore cotton. It's fine. Like, different, or someone will give you at least some guidance as far as there's a lechachila this, but many, many were not mocked for that lechachila. But it's very important to know that. Remember when I learned in YU, most of the halacha shiurim that I was in were Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon used to always say, and this is the key, we always want to know what's Iker Hadin, what's Lechachila, what's Bidiyabed, what's a Minhag, what's a Chumra, what's a Kula. We want to know what's out there because life is going to be filled with a million situations. So I wouldn't be Machmir on something if the people around me, if it would be frustrating for them around me. So I'm not going to be Machmir on something in my home if it's going to frustrate my children like crazy. I thought it was a really, really important, critically important Chumra to be able to keep. But if I'm going to be in my house as a Lemashal, and let's say I'm in my parents' house. My parents heat up food on Shabbos one way. And they're posting that thing that's wonderful, heat up Shabbos that way. But when I learned Hilchos Bishul, you know what? I think maybe it's better to heat it up a different way. Let's say like that. So that's a maybe it's a chumrah that I have. Maybe it's a chumrah that I have. But I'm not going to impose a chumrah of mine on someone else. So it's always good when we're learning. If something seems surprising to you, it's not what fits with people around you, that's a time when I would always say, let's ask a question. That's a time when I would say, let's clarify. Is this what everyone thinks or not? And we'll often find a lot of helpful information, you know, in that direction. The third thing I always ask myself, aside from what's likelihood of it coming up? And number two, is it surprising? The third question is, are there similar and maybe even more contemporary applications of this halacha that are not in the sefer that I would love to know the answer to? As an example, back to our wool and cotton tzitzis. So I'm learning about wool and cotton tzitzis, and I say, that's great, wool and cotton tzitzis. I have a question like, really? It sounds like maybe I should wear wool. Ramah says like, cotton's really fine. I'm not sure what to do. Do I have to wear, if I'm smart, wear Ramah, but the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm asking about that. Maybe I have another question. Maybe my question is not about wool or cotton, but I wonder to myself, what's the deal with mesh? That's not explicit in Shulchan Aruch HaMishnah Berurah. Or, as came up with the Tretzky family when we were in shopping with my kids, what about dry fit? Dry fit tzitzis. That'd be an awesome thing for if you're an 11-year-old kid who averages, you know, on his Fitbit over 20,000 steps a day. So to have a little bit of a, really? I think so. Yeah. So if you have a dry fit, you know, thing, it's very, so what's the status of that? So there, it's a great opportunity to be able to say, let me ask questions then to figure it out. Let me ask questions to figure it out. Now, what you could do, I think, are one of two things. You could sometimes ask, what is the deal with, what's the deal with mesh? What's the deal with that? I'm learning these halachas, what do we tell about mesh? Something else, especially because if it's based on halachas about leather begadim, so maybe I would have skipped that one because I thought, that's not lemaisa, who's wearing like a leather baguette? So then, you know, you have to ask them sometimes who can help guide you more. What you could also do is take advantage of the svarim that are more likely to give you the contemporary discussions. What are those svarim that are more likely to give you the contemporary discussions? So one of the reasons why Mishnah Berurah is a great sefer is because there are so many svarim, or at least there are two, I would say, very important ones on Mishnah Berurah that give you the halacha l'maaseh nowadays discussions. One of them are the newer Dirshu Mishnah Berurahs, which we have right here, which are great for sort of like directing you to like, by the way, this person holds X, this person holds Y, the Chaznish says this, the Moshe holds this, and Piskei Tshuvos, which is also, I'll say there, the Shulchan Aruch HaMishnah Berurah, there's one right here, which gives you also contemporary discussions. Neither of them are comprehensive or exhaustive. Neither of them give you everything. Neither of them are, you know, but they can at least give you some information. Maybe you still want to ask and clarify, but they can give you a good handle on those kinds of things. So when I'm learning Halakha Seder, to clarify what we did so far, we're not spending all morning learning Halakha Seder, but what can I do in that half hour? So different options as far as I want the broad overview. I want to learn things that have a little bit more background, Aruch HaShulchan, a little more emphasis on some of the Achronim, maybe the Posek Achron or the Mishnah Berurah, as far as what I want to do in this yeshiva. I think we tend to go with Mishnah Berurah as far as the normal structure of Halakha Seder, although many do other things. And then the question becomes, when I learn, I think those are the three questions I'm asking. The likelihood of this coming up, this is surprising. Do we really do this, or do we not do this? And number three, which is, are there contemporary applications of this, either in my life or not? If we don't pause to ask that question, so it's not, it may not hit us on the spot, but if I pause to ask that question, so then I'm going to be in a much better spot. What do our notes look like? So notes are always tied towards your goal. Notes are always tied to your goal. I believe that if a person has good notes on Halakha Seder, from Halakha Seder that I had, when I have notes, I'm much more likely to go back to that. I know it much more. And it's a resource I can look at. Things I learned and never had notes on, never chazed, or things like that, I'm much less likely to. So what does it look like? Lidati, it looks like the following. It doesn't require a massive amount of time, but it probably looks like the following. At the end of the day, again, depending on what your goal is. If your goal is just making sure I know what to do when things are lemaisa, so some things will fall through the cracks. I won't know everything, and that's a decision I'm making when I only learn for a half hour a day. That's going to be my decision. What am I going to ask myself? Number one. Any basic halachas I learned today. I want to write down any basic halachas I learned today. Good to know. Anything that I read and I said, that's a good idea to have. That's a good basic idea. Number two, I want to write down any of the halachas that I think are likely to come up, especially if what I saw was something that I didn't know, wasn't sure about, or may have even thought the opposite. Then for sure I do. So do I need to write about like saying a bracha on tzitzis while you're standing? So maybe that's good, but maybe I do that anyway, so it's not as critical to get down. I would then write down, and this is part of, I think, what's helpful, if you asked someone a question about it and they told you something else, or it was surprising, I looked in the Derech and I saw someone else argue with it, I just write down briefly, you know, the Mishnah Berurah says this, Derech quotes this. I asked this person who explained this. And just to have that in your notes, because then your notes become your sort of guide. When I learned Hilchos Sittas, what I thought I was supposed to do. Then you could also, in addition to that, if you saw any discussions that you know are relevant, so let's say I saw Mesh Tzitzit was bothering me, and I saw there was a discussion of Piskei Tshuvos, but you know what? I didn't have time to read the whole thing, only had a half hour. What I would have in my notes was, as far as Mesh Tzitzit goes, see Piskei Tshuvos here. And that way, at least I know in my notes, if I do want to ever look into that, I'll look into it by way of that Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, that's where I can really go. So we're talking about the learning of the Halakha Seder. I think that's sort of like the structure note-wise of what to do. The last Eitzah I would give, and the last, I guess, before we chazer, is the following. One of the things which can be very, very helpful when you learn, let's say I've learned Hilchos Tzitzis like this, got all the basics, whatever it is, again, we're not talking about the best way in the perfect world I'd maybe learn it. We're speaking about Lemaisa, what would I be doing? So one of the best things that I would probably do is I would listen to some shiurim. I'm going somewhere for Shabbos, I'm on the bus, I'm walking somewhere, I have a free, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, listen to a couple shiurim on Hilchos Tzitzis. A couple shiurim on Hilchos, they'll give you some more background, give you some more of the Lemaisa. I listen to a shiur on Mesh Tzitzit, which is 12 minutes long, and I say, okay, you know what, I got that. And I would write that in my notes, add a couple of the main shittas. Add a couple of the main shittas, you know, down in your notes or something like that. Even if I heard it when I was writing, you know, here are two things I want to remember from that shiur, and I add those two to my notes. What you're likely to have then is just, when you chazer, so I can take some time, I can just go over the basic dinim, the things that were surprising that I clarified, or the halakha that I didn't know that I really learned that seemed to be really significant, and any of the newer or more important discussions. I think that is, again, at least part of the way to do it. Halakha Seder, if we learn Halakha Seder is a half hour a day, or so, if you learn Halakha Seder consistently over your time in yeshiva, you can cover a massive amount of ground. And there are massive areas of Torah that I could become increasingly familiar with if I take advantage of that time and learn it well. What that does require is sometimes pausing at the end of the day and saying, so what did I learn today? What I learned today that seems to be more relevant? What I learned today that was surprising? And a little bit of time sometimes asking someone, so what do we say about this? What do we say about that? If things come up that seem to be a little bit like, really, we do it that way? I always thought we do it a different way. And often you'll find, you know, and you can add that to your notes and that's helpful. And what I would also just add, the more that you have notes on some of these things, so when you hear a shiur on a topic, you just go back into those notes and add it in. When I hear a shiur on the topic or someone quotes me, I just go right back in and add it there, and it's building in terms of your learning. Halakha Seder can be immensely significant. It's obviously important Talmud Gadol, Shemei V'Yedei Maisa. Let's make sure we're doing as good a job as possible to learn Halakha Seder as well as we possibly can.